So today, I'm going to continue this series called Practicing the Way, Becoming an Apprentice of Jesus. And this fall, as a church family, we are intentionally exploring what it means for us to follow Jesus, to be his disciples in the 21st century, in our modern day. And this is week three. And so what I want to do before we jump into the content for today is I want to review where we've been the last 2 weeks. So in week number one, I started us off by talking about Jesus's invitation when he said, come follow me. And I talked about how that's an invitation into a way of life, not just into a set of beliefs or not into this idea of doing the right things and not doing the wrong things, but it's an invitation for Jesus to really take up your whole life. Everything that you do in your life, he wants that to be a part of you following him. And during week one, I shared a working definition, our working definition of what a disciple of Jesus is. And it says this, that a disciple of Jesus is someone who lives in relationship with Jesus, learns from Jesus, is transformed by Jesus, and is participating in his ongoing work in the world. Then in week two, last week, Carrie continued the conversation, and she showed us that the word disciple is actually a noun, not a verb. It's not something happening to us, but instead, it is who we are. And that following Jesus is something that we can do in our everyday lives. Sometimes it's hard to make the connection between the first century when Jesus was walking on earth and the 21st century. And she showed us how in the first century, they were making it connect to their everyday life, and we can do the same today. Now, for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking about an idea, and it's this idea that we call spiritual formation, or becoming. In the church, we sometimes use the word discipleship. And so for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking about this idea of being formed into the likeness of Jesus. And John Mark Comer, in his book, Practicing the Way, he says this. He says, spiritual formation in the way of Jesus is how each of us is being formed to be like Jesus, and in doing so, to become our deepest, truest self, the self that God had in mind when he willed us into existence before time began. So before the creation of the world, God knit you together in your mother's womb. He formed you, and he created you in his image. And before there was anything on earth, before he spoke a word, he had a dream, he had a vision, and that was that you would look more and more like his son, Jesus. That throughout your life, now this is before the creation of anything, he has not even spoken, there was no light, there was no plants, nothing, but he knew, he had a vision for your life, and that is that you would look more and more like Jesus. And that is the place, when you look more and more like Jesus, that is the place where you will become your truest, your most whole, and your most healthy self. Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 8. He says, for those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So before the creation of the world, God knew that he wanted to conform you into the image of his son. The New American Standard Version of the Bible says this, for those that God foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. And the Message translation says it like this, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. This has been God's goal, his desire, his vision for your life from the very beginning, that he would shape your life. He would conform your life, that you would become more and more and more like Jesus. Now, here's something that we need to acknowledge right out of the gate. To be human is to be formed. To be human is to be formed constantly, nonstop. Whether you are religious or you are not religious, you are being formed. We're all being changed. We're all growing. We're all evolving. We cannot avoid this process. Now, we see this physically, right? We all know this, that the older we get, things change a bit. I remember whenever I was a teenager and I would be hanging out with our older neighbors in their 80s, and I'd be like, why are their ears so big? Were they born like that? But then I found out that the older you get, the bigger your ears get and the bigger your nose gets. And I'm kind of looking forward to my ears being bigger because I think it's a sign of wisdom, right? So we can't avoid this process. Physically, emotionally, we are evolving, we're changing. And spiritually, we are evolving and changing. To be human is not a static experience. You will never arrive. You're always becoming. I think this is one of the reasons why pictures are so fascinating, okay? When we look at pictures, they transport us back in time, and we remember who we are, and then we think about how far we've come, how much has changed. So I wanted to show you a few pictures of Nicole and I along the way. Yes, I used to have hair, and yes, Nicole looks exactly the same. I don't know how that happens. This is us on our wedding day. And then we had kids. This is when I think Marcus was probably 6 and Madeline was 4. And then this was just this past summer. And as we look at pictures, man, they take us back, don't they? I mean, especially since they're right on our phone, every night is a trip into the past, remembering where we have been, and then thinking about how far we have come and how much has changed, how much I've learned, and how my life has been formed. So the question is not, are you being formed? Because you are. The question is, who or what is forming you? Who or what is forming you? Now, I'm not sure if you caught the implication in the question, but just in case you missed it, let me make it really clear. The question is not, are you being formed? The question is, who or what is forming you? And the implication is this, whatever or whoever is forming you is what or who you are being formed into. Let me say that one more time. The question is, who or what is forming you? And the implication is, whatever or whoever is forming you is what or who you are being formed into. Let me give you a couple examples. Look at the people that you spend the most time with, and you will see a pretty solid reflection of who you're becoming. Look at the content that you listen to, that you watch, that you digest, or as Eugene Peterson says, that you eat. Look at the content that you put inside your head and your heart, and you're going to get a pretty solid reflection of who you're becoming. Look at the places where you spend most of your time and most of your energy, and you're going to get a pretty solid reflection of who you're becoming. Maybe you could think about it this way. If you've ever had a garden, you know this is true. Maybe you've never had a garden, but you've tried to grow something, okay? You put a seed in the ground at some point. And here's the idea. If you plant a cucumber seed, then you have given up your options about what the harvest is going to be, right? If you put a cucumber seed into the ground, what are you going to get? If you put a green bean seed into the ground, what are you going to get? I will guarantee you that you will never put a cucumber seed into the ground and watch watermelons grow. Not gonna happen. It would be weird. The Apostle Paul says it like this in Galatians 6:7. He says, you will always harvest what you plant. We are being formed by something and into something. Now, you might be sitting here and you might be thinking about the people that you spend time with. You might be thinking about the places where you spend your time and your energy. You might be thinking about all these things that are forming you. And you might be thinking to yourself, I don't want to look like that. Awesome. Great. Cool. I'm glad you've recognized that. You might say, I want a better harvest. I want a different harvest. Well, you have to start planting different seeds. You have to start planting different seeds if you want a different harvest. You have to ask, what do I need to plant in order to get the harvest that I desire? So let me ask you a question. Who do you want to become? Who do you want to become? What is your ideal self? If you could become any kind of person, if you could show up as your best self in your relationship with your spouse, your kids, your parents, your friends, your neighbors, your colleagues, even your enemies, what would that person look like? How would you describe that person? In this series, we are talking about what does it mean? How do we follow Jesus in the 21st century? And part of that is being formed into the likeness of Jesus. So how are we formed into the likeness of Jesus? Over the next few minutes, I want to share with you kind of my theory of formation. Over 15, 20 years of intentionally discipling people, what I've seen is these few elements of formation, when people have implemented them into their lives, they have looked more and more like Jesus as I've walked alongside of them. So I just want to, it's a theory, it's mine, all right? I'm not going to tell you that if you follow it perfectly or in a linear way that you're going to look like Jesus tomorrow. I'm not going to do that. And you may add things to it, that's fine. I just want to share my theory of formation with you, and then I want you to wrestle with it. Sound good? So how are we formed into the likeness of Jesus? Step number one is you got to have the right information. You have to have the right information. You have to have good information, good, solid knowledge and theology. Theology is who is God and what is God doing in the world? I can tell you this. I have never walked alongside of someone who has been digesting bad information and bad theology and them look more and more like Jesus. I have walked alongside of people who have decided to digest theology that doesn't look like Jesus and doesn't point them to Jesus, and they end up looking like something and following something. It just ain't Jesus. It just happens. Now, what I've seen is as our world has moved away from more of like a literacy or a reading, and the church has also done the same thing, what I've seen in the church and what I've heard in church circles is almost this, hey, you can follow Jesus and not be a student of God's written word. It's okay if you don't read the Bible. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't know how you follow Jesus and not read the stories about Jesus. I don't know how you get to know God, our Father, our Heavenly Father, and not read the stories about God. Is it easy? Absolutely not. Does it take wrestling? Totally. But you have to be a student of His Word. You have to digest and chew on good information so that you can have good and strong and rich theology, that you have a foundation to stand on. Tim Keller said this. He said, ironically, the insistence that doctrines do not matter is really a doctrine in itself. And I would say it like this. The insistence that theology doesn't matter or information or knowledge does not matter is in itself a theology. You are going to take in information and knowledge. You cannot avoid it in our world. It's everywhere. So you need to make sure, and you need to be intentional about taking in good, rich theology. Now, in saying that, sometimes as products of the Enlightenment, we think that if we can know the right stuff, it will change us. But it doesn't. We can't think our way into Christ-likeness. So we have to hold these two things at the same time. We have to know that we can't think our way into Christ-likeness. We can't know enough and then look like Jesus. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge that information, good knowledge, good theology is very important. Can you hold those at the same time? It's so important that we do that. Information transfer alone doesn't result in life transformation. I was talking to Stacy right after backstage, and she was sharing with me a story when she was 25. She was did a year of missions work in China. And she said that the people that she was working with, a lot of these people had read the Bible. They had read the Bible. They knew the Bible, but it did not make a connection to their everyday life. It didn't transform their hearts or their minds or their everyday life. So we need good information, but we have to acknowledge that there's something else to it, which brings us to step number two, and that is abiding with Jesus. Abiding with Jesus is crucial if we are going to be formed into the likeness of Jesus. Jesus says it himself. He says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." That conversation about cucumbers, watermelons, remember that? Like, your life is not going to produce more Jesus fruit if you're not planting the seed of Jesus, right? We have to abide in him. He goes on, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I'm not going to be transformed. I'm not going to be formed into the likeness of someone that I don't spend time with. I'm not going to look more and more like Jesus if I don't spend more and more time with Jesus. I mean, I'm going to look like anything or anyone that I'm spending a lot of time with, that I'm remaining connected to, that's speaking into my life. I'm going to look more like that. And so in order for me to look more like Jesus, I have to abide in him. Now in the Christian world, we have all these practices that help us do that, and we're going to get to those in a couple weeks. We're going to talk about those. We've talked about those before here at One Life. You can go on our YouTube channel and find whole playlists where we have talked about practices, spiritual practices that can help you abide with Jesus. But can I give you just a really easy starting place? I did this last night. I told my wife, I said, "Do you ever get just tired of noise?" She was like, "Yes." And I had just turned the TV off because I was just like, I was watching it with my eyes, but it, you ever have that? Like, this is, I'm just tired of this. So I turned it off and I just laid there before I fell asleep and I just talked to Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. That's abiding with Jesus. And you can do that. You can do that in the morning. You can do that in the car while you're driving to work. You can do that anytime. You can do that in the midst of chaos. But when we abide with Jesus, we are going to start to look more like Jesus. Next is community. You can't follow Jesus by yourself. You are not going to be formed into the likeness of Jesus when you are doing life in a silo. Just not going to happen. The book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom in the Bible. And in Proverbs 27, verse 17, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another." The way that we become wise, the way that we are formed into the likeness of Jesus, is by surrounding ourselves with people who are pointing us to Jesus. There's this phrase in the New Testament. It's the phrase "one another." The Greek word for this phrase, one another, is found 100 times in the New Testament. 59 of those times refers to how we should treat one another or how we should not treat one another. And so the New Testament writes into the narrative that we cannot do this by ourselves. That if I want my life to produce the fruits of Jesus, the fruits of the Spirit, then it's going to happen in community. We need one another. I have this conviction that you need 3 to 5 people in your life that are pointing you to Jesus, that are living out the one another's alongside of you, forgiving you, encouraging you, carrying your burdens. You need 3 to 5 people who are pointing you towards Jesus. Now, hear me. These people don't have to agree with you on everything. In fact, I think it's so important that they don't. Because if you agree on everything, you're going to live in a silo. And from the Midwest, they put corn in silos. And if you jump in a silo, you're going to die. You're going to suffocate. And so if you surround yourself with a bunch of people that always agree with you, you're going to suffocate. But if you put people in your life that will challenge you, if you're reading the Bible and you're like, I think God looks like this. And they're like, oh, no, seems weird. Maybe go back and check that one again. Right? We need people who will push us and challenge us, but we need one another if we're going to be formed in the likeness of Jesus. Next is practice. You got to put this stuff into practice. It's time to get in the game. This is not a spectator sport. It's not a sport where you sit up in the stands and cheer everybody else on. Get in the game. It's time to put the good information, the good knowledge, the good theology in to practice. It's time to show the world around you the love that you've experienced in your times of abiding. We abide with Jesus so that we can then go out to the world and show the world the Jesus that we've experienced as we are abiding in him. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus is having this conversation with this really smart dude. And they're having this discussion about what it means to inherit eternal life. And the man answers correctly. He answers right. He has the right information, the right knowledge, the right theology. But then Jesus pushes in. At the very end, Jesus says in verse 28, he says, do this and you will live. So Jesus is saying, you got it. It's connecting up here. You got all the right information. You know the right answers. You know the right stuff. But the way you'll experience life and more life is when you put it into practice. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says something really hard. Are you ready? Get ready. He says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. So you can confess with your mouth that you believe in Jesus. You can say like, yeah, I believe there's a God. And Jesus is like, something's missing. It's the doing. It's the practice. It's the living it out. You can say, yeah, man, patience is a great idea. And Jesus is like, yeah, go do it. Go live it out, right? You say, love is so cool. It's the answer. Go on. See how it works in the world around you. Now, this brings us to the next step because it's connected to practice. It's failure. Failure is inevitable, and it is vital in us being formed into the likeness of Jesus. We're going to fall flat on our face. It's not going to go perfect. We're going to say the wrong things. We're not going to have the right answers. We're going to try to be patient with our little kids, and it's not going to work. Right? You're going to try to be kind to that neighbor that disagrees with you on everything, and then you're going to end up in an argument and go your separate ways and slam the door. It's just going to happen. Like, failure is part of the deal. I think about failure in terms of the biblical idea of suffering. A lot of times, some suffering, it happens to us. There's suffering that happens to us. We didn't do anything to cause it. There's failure that happens to us. We didn't do anything to cause it. But I would like to offer that there's always something for us to learn from it. There is a way that we can be formed by it. There's some suffering that happens because of us. There's some failure that happens because of us. I cause the suffering in the world around me. And there's something for me to learn from it. There's something that can be a way that I can be formed by it. There's some suffering and failure that happens around us. We're watching it happen in the world around us. And there is something for us to learn from it. There's a way that we can be formed by it. My ministry coach, Jim, he says to me all the time, we go through this process and I'll be like, man, I messed that up. He's like, okay, well, what are you going to do next time? What did you learn? What did you learn about God? What did you learn about yourself? Sometimes our fear of failure and our fear of suffering, I am terrified of failure and suffering most of the time. But when I'm so afraid of my failure and suffering, it keeps me from practicing this stuff. And if we don't practice, then our formation will be stunted. Next step is debriefing. So I put it into practice. I have the good knowledge. I abide in Jesus. I have a community around me. I've gone out. I'm living it out. I'm putting it into practice. I'm saying to the people around me, like, hey, I'm going to try to have a conversation with that neighbor, or I'm going to try to be more patient with my kids. Whatever you say you're going to put into practice, you go out, you do it, you fail, you fall flat on your face, and that is an opportunity for you to come back to your community and for them to ask you questions. How'd it go? What'd you learn? What went well? Did you experience failure, resistance? How was your old self triggered? Did your old self show up? What did you say or do that you wish you had not said or done? Yes, that happens to me about 3 a.m. every night. Wish I wouldn't have said that. If you had shown up as your fully formed self, what would it have looked like? We need a place, a safe place, where we can debrief in community so that we can learn from these times of practice and these times of failure. And this brings me to the last step. Try again. Go give it another shot. You failed, you've come back, you've debriefed, you've learned some things, and then the people around you should look at you and say, you got this. Give it another shot. Proverbs 24:16 says, though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. Man, I might fall on my face over and over and over and over again. But I can tell you, I have some amazing people in my life that help me debrief that, process that, learn from it, and then they look at me and say, you got this. Go do it again. Give it another shot. So there they are, the 7 steps towards being formed in the likeness of Jesus. Information, abiding with Jesus, community, practice, failure, debriefing, and trying again. Now you might be sitting there and saying, how long's that gonna take? Or why am I still the way I am sometimes? Well, becoming like Jesus is slow. It's a lifelong process. It doesn't happen overnight. It is not the microwave dinners from the 80s. It's more like smoking a juicy brisket or fermenting a fine wine. It takes time. James Houston, a Regent College professor, says spiritual formation is the slowest of all human movements. John Mark Comer says, formation into the image of Jesus is a long, slow process, not a one-time event. Now, I get it. This slow process can be so painful for us because we live in such a fast-paced world where things are changing so quickly, and therefore we expect the same to be true of our spiritual formation. But it's not. It takes time. It takes a lifetime. In the words of Eugene Peterson, it is long obedience in the same direction. And so, my friends, if you're here and you've said yes to Jesus' invitation to come and follow him, and you have a desire to be formed into his likeness, then you're on the journey to be formed into the likeness of your rabbi, your teacher, and your savior. Can I offer you something? Give yourself a lot of grace. Give yourself a lot of grace along the way, just as Jesus has given you enough grace for the journey.